Advices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. You're listening to episode 99. I'm Scott McNally, and this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code, which is Advices, and that will give you some additional savings and great supplements that are owned by a company and an owner that we can believe in, people that we can trust. And on that note, today we are going to talk about the Blackstone Labs indictments. Today I have with me Eric Marshawitz. He is an inventor. He is part of Mind and Muscle. He's part of High Tech, and he is the patent holder for a number of the pro hormones that are still legally available on the market today. Being in his position, he needs to understand how to maintain a good, healthy relationship with the government and make sure that he is always complying with their ever-changing demands. And so I thought he'd be a good person to talk to about this topic. We're basically going to go through the indictments and name the people that are being involved with this. We're going to talk about what they're facing and just look at the facts. That's really it. And honestly, I felt a little bit torn about putting this show out because I feel like, we're not the type of show that's going to be like this hard-hitting news podcast. We aren't doing like celebrity gossip either. You know, we're mainly involved with the sport of bodybuilding and the actual bodybuilding itself. You know, we're here to help educate you guys and to give you great information, about the sport so that you can do better in your own bodybuilding journey. So this is a little bit different than that, but then it was brought to my attention that there's been basically a media hush about this topic. And, I guess I get it. If you look at the major media outlets, they are all highly sponsored by Redcon. So, Aaron Singerman, owner of Redcon, it would be in his interest to not have people talking a lot about this. But we here are, not sponsored by Redcon. We can do what we want. I do think it's important that everybody who is involved here, and by involved, I mean, if you are purchasing supplements, I think that, this is your business. If you have Redcon in your Instagram handle, then this is definitely your business. We have such a revolving door here in the sport of bodybuilding that, you could be involved 1 minute and 2 years later, people don't care anymore. And so there's a whole new crowd of faces. You could really do some heinous stuff in this sport and in this industry, I'll say, not the sport as much as the industry. And a couple of years later, you pretty much, I won't say be forgiven, but it'll be forgotten. And for the record, I think it's important that we look at the people that are involved in this because there is a bigger piece that this isn't the first time that Aaron Singerman or PJ Braun have been involved in some pretty heinous stuff. If we look back at the Prime Nutrition incident, that was their old company. They had a product called Intra MD plus EAA, I believe it was. It turned out that they didn't contain products, very expensive products that they claimed to have in it. And I don't know who was responsible for that. But at the end of the day, they were basically somebody was stealing from us. Somebody was stealing from you. If you were purchasing those products, then you were directly being tricked and lied to. People like John Meadows were being directly tricked and lied to on multiple levels. So that's the past, and I hope that whoever had directly tricked and lied to us has learned their lesson and that they are trying to be better people moving forward. The reality is I don't want to see any of these people that are involved in this indictment get in any trouble. I don't want to see the government win. At the same time, I think it is important that we do talk about this, because apparently not many people are. And I think that it's important for you to be aware of the people that you're dealing with if you are going to vote with your dollar and make supplement purchases. Guys, welcome back to the show. Back with me on the mic, it's been a little while. Eric Marchewitz, what's up, brother? How you been?
Good, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I wanted to talk to you today about this this indictment that everybody seems to be talking about. I've gotten in my inbox a bunch of times. The headline is, six individuals and two companies charged in illegal dietary supplement scheme. So I think everybody knows about this right now. Some of the key players that we're familiar with would be, one, Robert DiMaggio, two, Aaron Singerman, and three, PJ. So Philip Braun is his name's right, but a guy we know is PJ Braun.
Yes.
This is just released as of March 13th, Wednesday. What are your thoughts about all this?
Okay, so a couple things first. I'm not a lawyer, just so you're aware, and I, you know, this isn't any sort of legal opinion. I have had 1 year of law school, so I've got a pretty good, which included criminal law, so I've got a pretty good background in it. But again, this is all just, what I read. I'm not an expert, and I'm not a lawyer. But, it's a pretty crazy case, man. It's interesting, and there's a lot in there if you read the indictment. So, the government seemed to really have their ducks in a row, and they really sort of went for it. So, if you look at it, the big thing is that the government alleges that they were selling designer steroids, which would be methylstenbolone, the methyl 1 alpha, that was like the one test pro hormone, one test pro hormone, and dimethazine. If you don't know what that is, that's it's like two superdraw molecules joined together effectively.
Okay.
So they were, they were alleging that they sold this stuff, which appears that they did, obviously. That doesn't seem to be in question. I mean, there's videos and stuff like that out there.
Oh, yeah. And they never tried to hide this. Isn't as if they were trying to call this something other than it was, right? They're legitimately just selling this as what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much that's what they were doing. So they, they had some other companies and other people they were working with that, they were kind of the government alleges that they were shelling. And so we'll talk about those. But basically what they did is, let's talk about real quickly what the difference is between like a synthetic steroid and a natural compound like DHEA. So really what it comes down to is the compound found in nature, right? So that's the first thing. Is it found in nature? And if it is, then there's a case to be made that these products are legal and can be sold as dietary supplements. If it's got certain functional groups changed, which, Superdrol has, a 2-methyl and a 17-methyl group, well, those would be illegal because they're not found in nature. Even though the base molecule is found in nature, those modifications now make it effectively a drug, if you will. And that's really what is the demarc is between those two things. Now, SARMs are completely different. SARMs were never found in nature. They're experimental drugs that people, companies are looking at. And in a nutshell, they're trying to bring them to market to help with, muscle wasting for cancer patients and all kinds of stuff like that, AIDS wasting and things like that. And so what, as you probably are aware, what people do is they find these compounds, they, check out some of the studies, and then they release them under the branding of a dietary supplement. But it doesn't appear that SARMs would ever fit the bill as a dietary supplement. So SARMs certainly were included in the complaint as well. Amp citrate, if you remember, that was a stimulant that was popular quite a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago. And, it kind of replaced DMAA for a little bit as the darling for the stimulant crowd. And amp citrate is not found in nature as well. And then finally, what interesting that they threw in there was picamilin. I don't know if you caught that, but picamilin is really two compounds that are found in nature, GABA and niacin. And they're bound together.
Okay.
So now the question on that is that natural or not? My opinion would be no, it's not, because If you remember from chemistry, there's two types of bonding. There's ionic bonding, which means the two molecules are next to each other and just sort of, you know, magnetically connected. Yeah. And then there's something called a covalent bond, which is a chemical alteration in my estimation. And covalent bonds are where they share electrons. So they actually are not the same chemicals. They can't be split in water, as an example, or a solvent. Mm. So picamelon, I mean, some people believe that it's natural because it's two natural ingredients. I tend to side with the FDA on this one because we have to have somewhat of a DMARC. But that's just my personal opinion. You know, that has not been legally challenged yet. So, and I don't know if this case will define that. It's a pretty interesting piece to throw into the case.
Okay.
So you know, as you mentioned, the defendants are, you know, interesting. They named the companies themselves. So it's not simply just the individuals. They actually named companies. I don't know what that means specifically for the companies as they stand now, because I don't know what, you know, if any ties there are or anything like that. But the companies have been named. And then, like you had mentioned, PJ, Aaron, Robert DiMaggio, Anthony Bentrella. I don't know him at all. I've never met him or anything about that. James Bacuzzi, which is their sales manager. And then David Winsaller, which is the, you know, the looks like the VP of operations.
Okay. And then the companies mentioned was Blackstone Labs and is it Ventec yep. Labs, two companies, right. Limited liability out of Palm Beach County, Florida.
Now, the other interesting factoid about this case is they have a retailer in Arkansas, and they're kind of vague about that, which is really weird. So they named this retailer in Arkansas that purchased some of the products from Blackstone, and, you know, they're part of the conspiracy, which we'll talk about in a minute. But so that's kind of an interesting twist because usually the retailers are spared, but I wonder if they picked Arkansas because there was a case in 2011 that went down where a retailer in Arkansas was found to be selling that American Cellular Labs product, and I believe they charged them with a crime as well. So it's kind of interesting that the government tied in the retailers. I tend to think that that's a good thing, even though the retailers might hate me for that. But here's the problem with all this stuff. You know, the retailers will just switch to the next manufacturer if they're not personally involved in this.
Does sure, that make sense? Sure.
So that's always been the trouble with the industry. So, you know, they've got a guy selling an illegal product. There's a demand for it, of course. And the retailer just says, oh, okay, you know, XYZ company is out of business. Now we're going to switch over to a new one and continue to sell SARMs or whatever else is out there.
Naturally, yeah.
So so basically, let's talk a little bit about conspiracies because that's kind of one of the things that I think people don't understand. So in a criminal activity, conspiracy is really just an agreement to commit an illegal act. So it's a pretty simple thing to be charged for. So if you committed the illegal act and you conspired to do so, if you've agreed to with another party, that is a whole separate charge.
Really?
On top of whatever illegal activity you've done.
Huh. So just the idea. You're teaching me some stuff here.
Just talking to someone else about it. So, you know, anyone that is considering that, you know, don't. Because, you know... So when people ask me, hey, can you find a source or can you? Nope, absolutely cannot do that. Sorry. You know, I just don't get involved in those kinds of activities.
Sure. But you bring a good point up, too. And this is for just your average bro in the gym. That is also then considered conspiracy. If someone were to come to me and say, hey, Scott, do you know where I can get, you know, whatever compound that would be illegal? And I were to say, hey, go talk to that guy over there. Am I now in a conspiracy?
Yes, potentially.
Okay.
That's a potential conspiracy. So. If you look at, you know, as an example, what an accomplice is. So let's say you were dealing steroids and you had your friend deliver it. That would be an accomplice. Conspiracy is your friend just, you know, started promoting for you or gave the sources away. That is a potential conspiracy charge. I mean, again, it's all open to whatever a judge decides, but certainly something that could be brought against you.
Okay.
So, yeah, just be careful about all that stuff. You know, don't get involved with people who sell drugs. That's probably the, you know, the right way to do things. So they go through and they detail in the conspiracy charge, their business practices. So, you know, they set up a fairly, you know, reasonable company. But it looks like Robert DiMaggio was involved in the company from the get-go, which I didn't know. I don't know him personally, but and then it looks like then PJ and Aaron sort of took over Blackstone at that point. Also started Fight Farm as a secondary brand, brought in, you know, this is all government allegations, obviously. Looks like, you know, they brought in their friend Anthony Vitella or the business associate Anthony Vitrella. And what they did then was, you know, was form these two brands and start selling products that the government deems illegal. Hmm. So, you know, started with the anabolic steroids, which, you know, again, would be methylstembolone, dimethazine, and what was the third one? Sorry, let me pull it up here. The methyl 1-alpha.
Okay.
And again, I mean, I don't know, that's going to be pretty tough to dispute because I think they have them on video and YouTube, given all that stuff, you know. But so then once those things started to become, you know, dangerous to them or whatever, the government alleges they switched over to SARMs, which they knew, the government alleges they knew that, you know, those were illegal as well. And there's some stuff in there that might lead credibility to that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So a couple of things that, you know, make this case interesting that from what I can read is the government is suggesting that, you know, to sort of further the conspiracy that there were health complaints about some of their products that that the guys just, you know, didn't notify the FDA. So you legally have to notify the FDA when there's a health complaint.
Oh.
But also directed the you know, employees to sort of, you know, hide. That's what the government is, you know, is asserting.
And that would be with any supplement. You're selling, you know, you've been involved with many companies. And yes. That's one of the great reasons to have you on here today is because the insight you have as somebody who's inside of the supplement industry. But say you were selling a creatine and for whatever reason I had some sort of reaction, I reported that to you. Your job, you by law, you're supposed to then report that to the FDA yourself?
That is correct.
Interesting. Yep.
Everyone
okay.
needs to do that. So that's something that's pretty important. So
that's got to be a pain in the ass too, man, with how many people are taking supplements and all the things that could go on that may or may not be related, you know, to your product.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a pain in the ass, but you know, I mean, most companies probably don't know this, but you know, you have the right, a duty to report adverse, you know, effects to the FDA. Okay. And so you have to keep a file. Well, yeah, you have to keep a file and it's got to be available. And if it's a serious adverse event, then you have to report it to the FDA. If I remember my law correctly, but you certainly do have to have a file. I do know that. So, you know, that's the, you know, the job of a supplement manufacturer. I can't imagine most people are doing that, but they need to because it's the law. So if anyone's running your supplement company here, you might want to check into that. I also do consulting. So if anyone needs help with any of that stuff, certainly get a hold of me. But
perfect.
But yeah, so, you know, that's really some of the things that have been, you know, alleged in that complaint and you know, it causes problems. So really, if you look at, you know, what defines this conspiracy, it's not just the illegal act. You know, there's a, you know, an email from Aaron that says, you know, I guess tell people who want the pro hormones about Fight Farm or the pros, he says about Fight Farm. So, you know, there's those kinds of things. You know, here's James Bacuzzi writing to a client saying, you know, why did you remove SARMs from your website? It says too much risk to the cell. The FDA is investigating them.
Mm.
You know, here's September. You know, you got Aaron saying, PJ Braun says, I don't even want SARMs in my warehouse. I'm more nervous about this than I was about the pro hormones. So those are kind of statements that, you know, look really bad, right? And then they were trying to keep the SARMs out of the magazines. And it looks like, you know, in 15, they got an ad accidentally put into one of the magazines into Muscular Development. And they, you know, said, listen, we don't want that.
Mm.
Additionally, they have some, you know, importation of raw materials. So Anthony Petrella, you know, texted an employee that there is raw materials coming from China. And basically said, you know, if anyone's asking, they came from the United States, you know, stuff like that. I mean, they have a lot of data. The government did their homework on this one. It's not just a bunch of allegations. They've got some, you know, pretty damning things in their indictment. So, you know, and here's another one. So, you know, they had 1,000 Osteopure was paid through Fight Farm, a separate LLC. You know, clearly that was a Blackstone account. That's in the indictment as well. So there's a lot of stuff in there, right? So, you know, James Bacuzzi wrote, you know, about SARMs. I'll have them in a different brand for you. I had to get them off the label, which it was implying Blackstone.
Mm.
So there's, you know, there's all these pieces in here that the government can point to and say, hey, look, you know, this is actually a conspiracy. I mean, yes, you could probably technically be charged with a conspiracy just by being part of it. But when they have emails talking about you knowing that stuff is illegal and you know, trying to hide it and all those kinds of things, that really does not look good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a pretty well done indictment. I mean, they have, a lot of quotes and a lot of data and, that's going to not lend well for them. So I don't know how this is all going to, work out if they're going to plead guilty or if, did you hear the USP Labs guys just pled guilty?
No, I did not.
So that case, I believe, is over now because everyone pled guilty. So I don't know what the sentencing is going to look like. But, one of the things that I'm not a fan of is that they stack up sentencing to, these kinds of charges. I mean, they're just absurdly long. I mean, you'd be in for, four lifetimes. what I mean?
But that's because they're trying to get something to stick, right?
Yeah, it's not even just get something to stick. It's, it's just kind of the government's way, it appears, to, to put pressure on you to, to basically plead, take a plea deal.
And cooperate with them, basically?
Yep. You've got situations, like I said, where the defendants appears from the government allegations that SARMs are illegal, right? You've got all these kind of shell game type activities going on. And again, when you look at that, it looks pretty ugly. And they, they're certainly going for it in this particular case, both on the SARMs and on the steroid side.
You mentioned shell companies. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's common that, I don't know, I shouldn't call it a shell company, but a secondary company to process orders. So if you look at that Fight Farm, right? So if they're taking 1,000 Ostapure and they're selling it through Fight Farm and it's the same owner, the question is why, right? So they don't want it showing up on their books. I mean, there could be a whole variety of different reasons and we don't know, but it certainly doesn't look good when you have two companies effectively operating in the same market. And one of them, stops selling illegal products and the other one keeps continuing on. So that's what it looks like. Fight Farm was sort of the, backup plan if Blackstone got any sort of heat.
I see.
So that's why it's a, it's pretty crazy situation. Looks like they were pretty knee deep in it, but again, that's all from the government, side. So they're going to have their time to put up a defense. So if you look at, there's some really interesting things in here, Scott, that, you might want to, just hear about. But they put into the indictment that David Winsaller told the FDA that Blackstone stopped selling Super DMZ back in 2014 and 2014. That's not true from what the government alleges.
Hmm.
The craziest one is you've got James Bacuzzi basically filling out, it appears anyway, from the government allegations that they basically filled out a certificate of free sale where he put his own name on there as the FDA agent.
Huh.
And then emailed it to a customer and effectively said, I'm not really comfortable with this. I'm impersonating an FDA agent, to paraphrase.
Yeah.
And, I'm not even comfortable doing that. Well, I wouldn't be comfortable either. That's a pretty big deal.
Where are you finding this information at?
That is in the complaint. Let me find the page for you. But yeah, it's actually in the complaint itself. And, that was probably one of the more damning things.
And that's where you're referencing all this information, correct?
Yes, it's all out of the complaint. So, again, they all seem to know about it. You've got DiMaggio saying to Aaron Singerman about this, the DMZ, the dimethazine. Once you get an FDA letter, I would move it all to all the MDE and SMDZ that is left to a different location in case they show up and remove them from the website and sell it to retailers only.
Hmm.
So another situation, the amp citrate, it appears that from the government allegations, they, knew that amp citrate was kind of on the hit list and was, getting warning letters, and then they sold everything out. They instructed their employees to sell the rest of the amp citrate products before anything happened and just blow them out as opposed to stopping.
Okay.
So, it's a pretty crazy situation that's not common, right? I mean, you don't usually have people impersonating FDA, officer, agent, so yeah. That's not going to look good in general. So I don't know, what they were thinking there, but, if the allegations are true, that's pretty damning. So we can go through, what the counts are. So conspiracy is the first one, and they put a lot of the damning information into the conspiracy charge.
Okay.
So they're bringing new drugs into interstate commerce. So that would be your SARMs. So your SARMs are basically, you know, and the picamilin and the amcitrate. So when the FDA doesn't have a category for something, it appears that they throw it into a new drug status. Hmm. And so when you're introducing those new drugs into interstate commerce, you know, that's a separate charge. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes.
And those charges are actually not that strong. They're, I mean, well, yeah, you know, they don't have large sentences. They're 3 years each. So, you know, with the government, as you're going to find out, that's relatively short.
Okay.
Then they have, you know, the controlled substances charges, which these should be interesting to see because that goes back to the argument that Rick Collins once identified. Do they need to be listed under a Schedule 3 or can they use an analog sort of catch-all phrase? And that hasn't been tested, as far as I know, in court. So, but they do charge them with that. So they have the conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, the actual distribution of, this is where it kind of gets.
What did you mean by that before you go forward?
So the
analog versus.
So what we have in controlled substances in number, you know, in the Controlled Substances Act, anything that's a controlled substance 2 or higher, they include analogs, but it appears anything 3 and below, the substances actually have to be specified. So they can't use a catch-all phrase that says anything that's pharmacologically related, and I'm going off the top of my head, pharmacologically related testosterone, you know, is included and causes, you know, these effects is included.
Okay.
That's in the bill, but there's some question whether that's legal or not because they have a list of all the different steroids that are on the illegal list.
Yeah.
And they have a provision for the attorney general to actually add new ones to the list. So the question is whether or not the catch-all phrase can be sort of just, you know, used to bring these charges to bear.
I see. And that's, I think, where the gray area kind of comes in with a lot of these supplements, doesn't it? Because it's not as if, you know, people were going out and trying to sell Dianabol, a drug that we're already aware of. They were kind of using things that were either new or, you know, something that had been so off the radar that maybe the law hadn't specifically said anything about them in the past.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, so that's that. Let me explain and back up a little bit on that. So you have two different sets of laws. The DEA is under one set of laws, from what I can gather, which is the Controlled Substances Act. And the FDA is under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. So these would certainly be something that the FDA would consider new drugs.
Okay.
So, you know, they could certainly try to bring that charge. Then the DEA under the Anabolic Control Act could bring the anabolic steroids charge. But since they're not specifically listed, there's a question of not whether that would stick or not.
I gotcha.
It's been a debate that's been going on for quite a long time, and I don't believe that anyone's ever taken it that far to test it. So two different sets of laws. So I always try to explain this to retailers. So while it may not be on the DEA's controlled substances list, it is still a new drug as far as the FDA is concerned, and it would be under FDA law that would be illegal, or potentially both. But certainly, you know, under FDA law, if it's not a dietary supplement because it doesn't occur in nature, then, you know, or a metabolite of something that occurs in nature, then it certainly would be something that the FDA would consider a new drug.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you now. Yes, sir.
Okay, so then they've got the distribution of controlled substances. Then there's possession with intent to distribute. So, you know, those are kind of the, you know, government's way of stacking up multiple things, right? That are kind of the same crime, right? I don't know how you, I mean, I guess you may have distribution issues in the past and stopped, but then if you're possessing it and you're intending to distribute, that's a separate charge. You know, that's kind of one of those things where they hit you with 15, you know, if you're selling drugs, you're selling drugs, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you stopped 2 weeks ago and, you know, does it really matter? You're still selling drugs, but the government has a way of, you know, stacking those charges up. So, you know, and then finally money laundering, which is taking the proceeds from an illegal act, you know, and, you know, using that to purchase other things, I suppose, is how they're loosely looking at it. So within this case, you have civil forfeiture as well. I don't know if you caught that, but they're taking some of the equipment at the Ventec facility, it appears. But they're also going after some individual assets from what I can tell.
Mm.
So you've got, you know, it looks like a Mercedes that was purchased, a Rolls Royce that was purchased, Looks like a home in Palm Beach County. I don't know if those are assets. They appear to be assets owned by the individuals, because this one would be owned by Aaron. Okay. You know, and then there's another one looks like a couple. No, 9542. So it looks like they're going after a couple of houses that Aaron purchased, again, from what I read. I'm not an expert in criminal law by any stretch. I mean, you know, I'm not a lawyer, as I said, but they've got some forfeitures that they're looking at taking. So, and they have provisions in there that if they can trace any assets to the money, they may have a claim against those. So it's a pretty ugly case. I mean, it's unlike anything we've seen before. They don't typically go after, you know, assets or things like that. They haven't up until this point. Mm. And then we want to talk about the sentencing. So PJ, for all of these counts, is looking at 86 years from what my math told me. Mm. So, you know, that's kind of a heavy weight, right? So typically it appears the government uses these kinds of things to get a plea deal, right? I mean, no one wants to spend 86 years in jail, yeah, even if they could. Aaron, it appears, is facing 66 years. Anthony Ventrella, 50 years. James Bacuzzi, 50 years. David Winsaller, 40 years, and Robert DiMaggio. It appears that he got out relatively early and didn't have much to do with it after the initial bump. He's facing 5 years.
Okay.
So some pretty heavy hammers being brought down by the government. And, you know, I always say this. I mean, everyone says that the government is horrid, and, you know, and in some respects I can agree with that. But at the same token, you know, my opinion is that when is the industry going to stop, right? I mean, the ship has sailed on anabolic steroids as dietary supplements. Hmm. That was back in 2009. I mean, when they busted bodybuilding.com and, you know, all those different companies, I don't know what made anyone think that that was a good idea to start selling them in 2014.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I kind of don't blame the government in these cases, because how many warnings and fines do people have before they wise up? They don't wise up, and then the government has no choice but to bring this heavy hammer down. And so, you know, that's what I've noticed in dealing with the United States versus the Europeans. When you tell the Europeans to stop, they pretty much just stop.
Okay.
The Americans, you know, we always seem to push it to the very limit until someone's serving some serious jail time. Hmm. And I wish our culture wasn't like that, but it is. So, you know, you see the government bringing a really, you know, heavy hand on these things now, whereas up until now, they had never done that. I mean, the American Cellular Labs was the last one I had heard about, and they got a $500,000 fine and a consent decree to, you know, do some additional reporting and things like that. And I'm just going from memory.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was, you know, whatever, you know, 5 years ago. And, you know, people just don't learn, right? I mean, after that, one would think that everyone in the industry would get the hint, time to stop selling steroids.
You would think.
That are illegal, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at a, you know, pretty ugly situation with them. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, go through it. I mean, do you have any questions on it that I might be able to answer for you?
I feel like you've painted a much clearer picture for me to understand what's actually going on. And I appreciate you could do that through, you know, what sounds to be an impartial position. You know, if we're looking at something that, what did you say? I think PJ's looking at 86 years. Aaron's looking at 60 something years. What's the likelihood in real world? How do those numbers translate? I mean, and I know you can't say because we don't know how things are going to unfold, but can you give me a guesstimate on how those things have, say, historically unfolded as far as the time that somebody might actually get? Will these guys actually do time?
I mean, I believe that they'll do time. That's just my personal belief. You know, this is a pretty heavy-handed complaint or indictment.
I see.
And so how much time? I mean, you know, people have weighed in, and I am not, you know, anyone to really give other than an off the cuff. You know, it could be 5 to 10 years probably.
And then as far as, you know, the lives that they're living, it sounds like the government's going to try to come in and take away some of the things that they have. Would this include losing monies that were made through the companies as well?
Yes, it appears so. It appears in the indictment that there's some provision for taking some of the money. So there's, I think, you know, $300,000-$400,000 worth of monies that were also identified as being wired to accounts and things like that. So yeah, and they can, I don't know how that all shapes up. Again, I don't have that level of knowledge, but you know, they can sort of trace it to other things. So if you took that money and invested in another entity or invested in a home, they can go after those assets as well.
I see.
To what extent? I honestly don't know, because I'm not anywhere near versed in that, but there is some precedent for that. So, you know, it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty ugly case they have, and it's been, you know, it's a pretty heavy handed position by the government from what I can read. Hmm. So, so boys and girls, be good and don't sell illegal stuff and, you know, have a position for, you know, your product being naturally occurring. I mean, that's really the, you know, or a metabolite of something naturally occurring. That's really the, you know, statement that we should all be following, because without that, without some justification, companies are leaving themselves open, and in addition, retailers. So, you know, again, I don't like to see a retailer get harmed. I don't want to see anyone get in trouble, of course. Yeah. I personally believe all this stuff should be legal, but that's just my personal opinion. You know, they're legalizing marijuana, so I don't see steroids being, you know, this huge public, you know, ill that needs to be, you know, squashed out of existence.
Totally agree.
But that's just my personal opinion. I would legalize all drugs if it was up to me, yeah. But it's not. But the point of it is that, you know, there's got to be some justification and some processes followed to ensure that the stuff that's being sold is derived originally, or at least initially, from a natural product.
Hmm.
So in these cases, I just don't see how that's going to be possible.
All right. Well, we will see. How long do you think something like this is going to take to unfold?
Well, that's a big question mark, because sometimes it takes years and years and years, and sometimes the government hops on it in 6 months. It really just depends on whether the attorney general wants to get to it or not. And so it kind of can hang out there for, you know, quite a long time, or if the government wants to get after it, it can be, you know, at trial within 6-8 months.
Okay.
So it really depends. So, you know, that's a hard question to answer. It's just depends on how, you know, busy the attorney general is, or how important this case is to them.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you helping to shed light on this. While I got you here, man, I would love to have you back on the show more often. I think one thing I would love to try to do with you is get like a history of pro hormones together, because I feel like you'd be the guy to come to for that. You basically have that in your head, don't you? The entire timeline.
Yes, I can absolutely do that. I think it would be interesting to talk about the history of pro hormones, talk about Patrick Arnold, Bill Llewellyn, people in, you know, Bruce Neller, and, you know, even myself to a certain extent. But those guys were, you know, really pioneers in the pro hormone industry. And it'd be great to go through that and talk about some of the stuff that happened, because it was the Wild West. I think, you know, I want to do a documentary on it one day. I think it would be fantastic. And it'd be real, you know, get some really colorful characters with the Balco Labs. And Bruce Neller is one of the most colorful people. I absolutely love Bruce. He's a great guy. You know, and he would be fantastic to do. So if you have any listeners that want to join me in putting together a documentary for Netflix, I think it would be really fascinating.
Oh, that would be badass, man. What else have you been working on?
So, yeah, I wanted to plug a few things if I could. So just brought out, I invented some gloves. They're patent pending. So what they are is that we theorize that these gloves will help reduce strain on the elbows when doing things like pull downs and curls.
Hmm.
So what they have is they have padding under the index finger and padding under the pinky finger. And the theory is, and it's been, you know, real world results have been coming in and they've been unbelievable. So one of my friends, Nick, who is an attorney, I gave him a pair to try out. He has chronic elbow problems, you know, with his tendon. He's like, I can't believe it. I put them on after my first set and my elbow pain totally went away. My elbow strain and stress, you know, you feel that stress on the tendons there. And he also was able to immediately put another 20 pounds upon his curl bar.
Nice.
So what they do is, you know, they're jwgloves.com. And that's an interesting story. So I was talking to a girl and I was like, boy, I think I'm going to invent these gloves. I think they're really going to work. And she's like, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. No one will ever buy those gloves. And I said, well, you know, interesting. When I bring them to market, I'm going to put your initials on them just as a, you know, as a way to tell you that, you know, don't always doubt things, but
a way to say thanks for your support.
Yeah. Thanks for your support. Exactly. So, but what they do is, so the theory is that by putting padding under the index finger, you know, when we do pull downs, we're always pulling preferentially with the index finger.
Okay.
And the pinky finger, because I believe we're really meant to hold balls, not really bars. The pinky finger, or rocks, if you will, the pinky finger doesn't engage fully. So by putting extra padding on the pinky finger, what we do is we engage the pinky finger more. Hmm. And by lifting up the index finger slightly, we're actually changing the angle of the hand, and we're allowing the grip to be really normalized or spread across all the different fingers, then up the wrist, and then pulling on both tendons as opposed to preferentially pulling on the tendon inside of your elbow. And so that's what we found. I mean, again, it's theory. We're going to be spending more money getting testing, but the real world results are astounding. So the next version we have coming out, we're including a wrist wrap, because there's really seems to be a development of the wrist muscles. So you're using muscles when you try these gloves that you haven't been using in the past, because again, we're engaging the same muscles when we're hitting that index finger so heavily, right? Mm. So we all close our index finger and our thumb, and we do this massive pull down, and we're just putting all that stress on one area.
Sure.
And so by spreading it out, we're actually engaging different muscles in the wrist. And, you know, we're hopefully going to be able to reduce injury and increase people's, you know, strength. So, they're amazing. So I'll get you a pair, Scott, to try out, but they're jwgloves.com. And, we will have up the prototype that we have. And then the final version that's going to have the wrist strap will be up as well.
Nice, man.
That's pre-order only.
Okay, cool. I'll tag that in the notes so guys can at least go to the site, pre-order, and check them out. It sounds interesting, man. I can kind of feel what you're talking about, how the entire duration, the entire width of my hand would be better engaged if I had a little bit more padding there down by the pinky end of the hand. So that makes sense, man.
Yeah. So, and the pinky actually, my friend was telling me about a study. I haven't found it yet, but the pinky has as much strength as the ring finger.
No kidding.
It's just not typically engaged. So the pinky has a lot of strength. If you even just pull it yourself with your index finger, the pinky has a lot of strength. And again, with raising up that index finger, we're sort of changing the angle and reducing the stress on the index finger. So we're sort of just shifting the pull a little bit. And hopefully that's going to help people reduce injuries and increase their lift strength.
Hell yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing more about this. And I look forward to having you back. Eric, thank you very much for taking the time to help break this complaint down. I really appreciate it.
All right, great. Thanks, Scott. Have a great day.
All right, guys, that was Eric Marchwitz. Thanks for listening. We will see you soon. Advices Radio.
Advices Radio Network.